severe persecution. We end with, so there was great joy in that city. And today we're going to discover how you go from severe to joy. God, we ask right now that you would come, fill us with your spirit, with your presence, with your word. God, let us wake up. Let us open our hearts. Let us awaken to what it is that you want to do in our hearts. Lord, this is us. We're on this side of things. And so right now, we just pray that you would come in power and in might and move here in this place today. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so the church was awakened. It was alive. So let's talk real quick about the church, okay? And I want to just remind you, we're talking about a growing number from 25,000 on. So the church just keeps growing. So somehow, Saul's plan didn't work out, right? He had a plan, and that was to stop the growth of the church, to stop the message of the Messiah, to stop people knowing about Jesus and the saving grace that comes from him. And it didn't work. You know what? The plans that the enemy has for you, if you'll commit yourselves to the Lord and be obedient, guess what won't work? The enemy's plans. He cannot have what is not his. There was a calling out. Here's what's interesting. See, he went from house to house to do what? To put them in prison, to silence them. You don't go to prison to have a voice. In fact, you go to prison so that your voice is silenced. Think about it. What else happened here? We see, and I love the way it's worded, if you translated it, it said that this united kingdom, this united church was united with God in heaven. Yeah, I'm not going to mess with this. Are you all okay to just listen and follow me? I'll tell you when to move. I got no signal up there. Are you alive, Lisa? Oh, good. Okay. I was talking to you, girl. All right. She's with me now, so call her out. You know, that's easy. You're calling out, right? Think about this. And so what you need to know about the translation, and this is what I want you to get, the way that Luke, because remember, Luke is writing this, and so he is a doctor. He is smart. He's a theologian. He gets it. We're not talking about just somebody writing. And here it's writing as the church being united with the saints in heaven. Well, wait a minute. That means that those people were alive. It means that those people were doing the same thing that was happening from the saints in heaven, which meant they were what? They were worshiping. They were honoring. They weren't silenced. And church, today, when we continue to lift the name of Christ, we continue to partner with the saints in heaven. It was putting in it, and the way you translate it is that it was one with heaven, meaning the church was in one accord with heaven. Imagine if every church that existed on Sunday morning today that's doing what we're doing, if they were in one accord with heaven, do you know there is nothing that could stop us? Come on, if we would start it here, there's nothing that could stop us. I'm fascinated that this here says that that church, meaning the church of the day, was united with heaven. Come on now. Meaning they were just in one accord. It wasn't just about the church on earth. It was the saints in heaven. Whew. It means, and this is what I kind of visualize as a good godly saint, is that you go from praising to praising. Think about it, that when you die, it's just from one to the, you just get a new body that doesn't have all the mess that yours does right now. But your soul keeps on. And they were saying the souls here and the souls there were just, whew. Church, this passage right here, if you just take the gospel and you take this, you should be encouraged every day. It was an assembly of believers in Jesus. But I don't understand. The church was scattered. Next slide. They were mourning over the death of Stephen. They were being persecuted greatly. They were seeing signs continue. Well, wait a minute. We see this word again. Don't you like this word? Man, if we started saying that, well, if that word applied to Moses, then it applied to Jesus, and then it applied to Stephen. It also applied to the apostles. And then it applied to the next dude, which was Philip, right? Then it might mean that it applies to, yeah. That's where we say, well, never mind. Let's just read about it and get excited and go home and say, that was good. But the signs continued. And the church grew. Didn't Luke do a beautiful job letting us know what was happening in this time? Just giving us a glimpse into what it looked like to partner with the saints in heaven. So let's go through a couple of things. What happened here? Well, first of all, Philip, he began to preach. Now, we're going to get into him in a second, okay? Because you know the church did what? They voted. Remember the 25,000? They voted and said, well, we're going to decide the fate of seven people, and we're going to let them know what they're going to do. Don't you love when people do that? We're going to let them know what they're going to do. And so, well, anyway, they were supposed to be taking care of the people, but let's just see what happened. First of all, they preached the word. You ever heard the saying, preach in and out of season? I would consider this, what? Out of season. I mean, unless you consider it in season, Stephen was just stoned. Saul's going door to door, putting people in prison, and guess what they kept doing? They kept preaching the word, which means that in the best of days, the worst of days, your sickest of days, your not sickest of days, your hardest of days, your not so hard days, you should be speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here it was specifically talking about them continuing to proclaim the Messiah, meaning salvation, the opportunity for all. The veil was torn, the temple's no more. He's up there. Stephen saw him, Luke saw it, we all saw it. Are you getting this? Think about what's on our lips. And for some reason, the church was unanimous. They were caring for each other, they were unstoppable. Even prison, even death couldn't stop them. You know why? Because as they died, they went from praising to praising. They, even when they thought they stopped them, what did they do? They just added to the number that was. Think about kind of a great missionary journey here. This is kind of when the missionary journey started in the church. They were scattered, but they kept speaking. Philip, who was chosen to be the seven to care for the church, kind of went against what the people said. Remember, because he was chosen out of the seven to make sure that the widows were taken care of, to make sure that the food was taken to, and make sure when they got out of the hospital, and guess what he did? He ain't do that. You forget about that when you read it because you get all excited because he said, let's go out and let me, as one of the seven, show the other 25,000, probably way more than that by now, let me show the rest of them what it looks like to just proclaim the gospel. And as we're going along, we're going to love each other. And as we're going along, if somebody's sick, we're going to get the arm. We're going to... Man. Philip was chosen to serve, but Philip rose up and preached. Whew. The problem with that is that that means us. We have a responsibility, and it's lived out in the earliest of church. And that is we've got to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means that even if you're serving in, you still have to. It means that even in the early church, those who were chosen and said, you are, it meant you still have to. And I'm telling you, there's something about talking about Jesus that is just freeing. Didn't I have an encounter the other night? And the dude said, are you like a Christian? I'm like, yeah, right? But we should be having those. We should be experiencing those. People should be sensing that. It shouldn't take long for them to say, well, he or she must be. You know, the world knows when there's something different in front of them. Come on now. They don't know it, but I'm telling you they will when they meet you. I'm telling you they did when they met Philip. You know who he preached to? Those Samaritans. What in the world? I mean, we could spend a whole day, you theologians and pastors that make me nervous every Sunday, right? We could preach a whole message on just the Samaritans and the fact that, hey, they didn't care who they were speaking to. You all know about Samaritans, right? And so they went and he just preached to anybody and they came to know Jesus. And guess what? They were as welcomed as anybody else. This was a radical departure from what everyone was used to. You ever been part of a radical departure? Overwhelming numbers. What's crazy is that even in the numbers, guess what they were? They were one. Now, I know for a fact many of you got family that aren't in a church here or anywhere else that are on my prayer list, and I know they're on yours, right? And there's something about, now let's switch it, let's transition it, about being the soft voice in those people's lives about the message of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't say harsh. I didn't say overbearing. I didn't say that soft, sweet voice that in action and in word consistently proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. So think about a couple of things in this verse. So Philip gave us an example. He was driven out of the city, persecution, hard days, yet we don't even see that focused on. He goes out and he continues to preach the gospel. People said, you should. He said, well, I need to. And he went out and continued to preach the message in a beautifully soft and bold way. That's hard, isn't it? Jesus was soft and bold at the same time. Crazy. But is your personal heart united with Christ? See, if it is, you can share the message of Jesus. If it isn't, it's hard to share the message of Jesus because it's not on the tip of your tongue. Is your ministry, questions you got to ask yourself, providing dramatic signs and results? You say, Pastor, that's for you. Imagine if it was for all of us. The bottom line is, Philip broke the mold and said, we're all preachers of the gospel. Now, why do you say that? What did it say in the scripture? It said the apostles did what? They stayed in Jerusalem. Y'all don't like this, right? So what if the scattered church said, let's stick together? Come on now, you don't like this part. I don't either. Because I like sticking together with y'all. Because it's comfortable. When we gather together, it's easy. When we start adding in the, it gets harder. And I'm a pastor. Let's just be real. They had a choice. And their choice resulted in you being here today. You think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Because you know what you are. You're a Samaritan. Unless one of you in here are Jewish, right? And I don't know that I know that any of you are. And so let me ask you a question. The apostles stayed. They went. They didn't huddle up, but they were united. They were one. And they said, well, if the apostles are the ones that are preaching the word and they're staying in Jerusalem to make sure we have a place in the world, well, then we better speak the gospel. Whew. It gives me chills because they had a choice. You have a choice. And they decided that it wasn't right to just go and serve one another. So they went out and they proclaimed. It's the second thing we see here in this passage. Philip immediately goes out announcing publicly the message of the gospel. Why is this significant? Well, it's significant because the way it's written, it tells us that he went out and publicly. Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal is Stephen was just stoned. The big deal is that if you were identified as a Christian, they went to your home. Y'all like when people just come in your home? And I don't mean just come in your home and come and knock on the ring, right? And then you from the distance say, well, I'm not here. You really are. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? Like, this wasn't that kind of like greeting at the door. They came into your home and took you away and put you in prison. But somehow, Philip and the rest of them said, we're still going to publicly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so they went out proclaiming, testifying. It's significant because when persecution comes, you have a choice. You say, well, that's such a big scheme thing. Let me tell you, some of you are sitting at it in your homes. And it's hard. Right? It's hard. At workplaces, with friends, with kids. And yet they went out. They went out. So Luke shows us here a couple of things. He was okay with being published. What do you mean? He was published. Meaning people were writing down what he did and letting other people know that weren't there when he was at the center of the city. Y'all like that? We have that nowadays too. See, we think everything's new under the sun. It ain't new under the sun. Facebook's great and y'all are published every day when you write on Facebook, right? But here he was published, meaning as he spoke, guess what they did? They listened and they sent the message this way and that way and this way. And he wasn't afraid. He was okay with it. He didn't care that people were quoting him. Do you know that, Philip? Yeah, here's what he said about Jesus. What's interesting is the way Luke wrote, you translate it, it says he was captivating. Whether you like it or not, you when you start speaking about Jesus, you are captivating. When I meet with all of you and your conversation changes from and all of a sudden goes into talking about the gospel, I find myself in awe. It's captivating. When you all are speaking about not nonsense, but about Jesus, it's captivating. It's special. When your hearts are pouring out and you're like, I really am concerned about, it's captivating. And people were captivated by Philip. It also translates for the next slide. Oh, here it is. To testify thoroughly. You ever been thoroughly looked at? Y'all awake? I mean, you have been. I mean, Samantha, did you thoroughly look at him? Right, and you thoroughly looked at her. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, there are some things we get through, and if you're not being thorough, right, with some decisions, you probably regret it later on. Now, maybe some of you are like me, and you just speak and speak, and then later on you're thorough and say, honey, why did I? And she says, well, I told you to think before you speak. In fact, the Bible says what? You know, you need to start thinking and take every thought captive. Somehow, in all of this, Philip was testifying thoroughly to the Messiah. That means that like his whole being was testifying to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This is significant. This wasn't haphazard. This wasn't, well, when I can. This was thoroughly testifying. He was a thorough example. It's why people were in awe of him. What are you testifying to? When people thoroughly examine you, what would be the output? What would be that? What would print out in the printer? Man, imagine if we could like print out what's in our minds. We'd be shredding that mess so quick, wouldn't you? Right? You talk to the pastor, you'd want to shred that one right afterwards, right? As your thoughts as you walk away. I'm just kidding. I'll tell you my thoughts standing at the grill in the corner where there was no air. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when I'm hot, things just happen in my mind. Why did I ever? Okay. I say that to lead you into something happened in this time that led the church into great joy. I know this sounds so weird, but I'm going to say it. But I like to feed people. I just do. It's why I wanted to have the men over. I wanted to feed you. I wanted to cook out there. I'm not great at it, but I grew up in a culture, right, that was very, very tightly tied to an Italian culture, to close to generations that were there. It is a big deal to feed people, right? I mean, I wish I didn't like food. I mean, she doesn't like food, and I don't understand that. And so I have no, like, concept. She's like, what do you say? I live to eat. You eat to live. That's right. I don't understand that. But anyway, I live to eat. Shoot, a good meal, let's have it. You know what I'm saying? There is something about the joy that it brings me to watch other people partake in that, right? There's just something about it. I don't know if you're like that too, and it's probably mostly the ladies here, but I get joy out of that. I get joy out of giving. I don't know if you're a gift giver, but she has to restrain me because I'll just be giving stuff away. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait, I used that yesterday. Well, they need it. And she's like, well, we're going to need it tomorrow. And I'm like, well, then we'll get another one. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I am. But there's something here that's happening, and it's so confusing because there's severe persecution. People are being drugged from their homes. People are being put in prison. And the saddest part of it all is that hundreds and thousands were being killed. And yet the scripture, and I don't know, I mean, I tried to figure out a different translation so y'all would not be so upset, but it ends with, so there was great joy in that city. Y'all got great joy? Severe persecution. So what I want you to do today is put whatever in there. Whatever you're in, okay? Because it was severe, and so what they were experiencing was severe, and so some of you are experiencing legitimately severe things, and I'm not downplaying it. The enemy wants to do severe things to you. But you put it there, and then you put the sentence, there was great joy in that city. Guess what the enemy can't do? He cannot rob the joy that you have in the Lord. And it's a sustaining joy. It's a soul-filled joy. It's the fact that no matter what happens to me physically, to my family, He can't have my eternity. And since that's where I'm going to spend the majority of my time, not today, not tomorrow, you're just not going to do it. Basically, He doesn't let the severe persecution stop him. He takes a posture of preaching. You ever think about this, this statement? You have to fight what others think you should. You ever do that? You ever been pigeonholed? When the Lord finally said to me that you can't be a youth pastor anymore, everybody said, oh, that's ridiculous. You know what senior pastors go through? The stress. I had family saying, now, we didn't want you to do this, and now you're going to do that. I mean, at least here you've got freedom, and you don't have to worry about it. And I had all that. And you know what I did? I said, well, I always wanted to serve in the Army. I got to get away from all these voices because I let them speak into me too much. Now I probably do the opposite, right? Y'all can say amen to that, right? But I knew the Lord was saying, I have more for you. But everybody else was saying, no, He doesn't. This is enough. And so I left to the Army. And said, well, you know, the Army basically says that you do what they say, and you sign this line, and it says you're now theirs, right? You know that. And they said, make sure you know, like, starting on this date, you're no longer your own. And I said, I kind of want that, because I got to get away from all the people that think I'm theirs. You have to resist looking at the odds around you. You have to resist looking at what other people think you should. Philip did it, and he did it boldly. See, we don't often look at this. Those seven men were elected to do a certain thing because the people thought they should do that certain thing. Philip saw apostles staying here, the church going here. Well, then I better change direction. And you can't tell me some of the people didn't want to say, well, what about me? You know, you were supposed to. We voted you to. You're my kid and you should. Well, I gave you this and you should. Well, you know, you really can only, you know, you don't really have a degree. Well, you know, Philip ignored it all. And guess what the product of that was? Great joy in the city. So let's translate it. Are you ready? You like translating stuff? The Joe translation? Because I like that one. So there was great joy in Anderson. So there was great joy in Pendleton. So there was great joy in LaPel. So there was great joy in Markleville. So there was great joy in Daleville. So there was great joy in Chesterfield. So there was great joy in Fishers. There was great joy in Alexandria. Where do you live? Because you're Philip. Or Philip S., right? We can just add an S to it. So what's holding you back? And here's the last thought of the day, and we'll go on to Sunday school. Whatever is holding you back is directly related to your lack of joy. Come on now. If you don't have joy, and if you would let me be honest with you, we could discover why you don't. And whatever that discovery brings about is directly related to your joy. And most of the time, it's directly related to where God wants to be and where He is in your life. What's crazy is that Philip just, see, we like these dramatic, long life stories that just, and show us the, Philip just said, let's go. I wasn't a preacher, but I am now, because ain't nobody else doing it around me, and so we better just do it. So that AFC can exist in 2021. Church, there was an alternative story here. And that was the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. The church took care of themselves. And you know what we do when we look inward? When there's not a balance? You say, well, AFC doesn't. Yes, it does. You're going to Sunday school, right? There's a balance right there. You go in a small group if you want to. That's tonight. There's a balance right there. But when you only look, you die. When you let that thought, that statement, that, well, you'll never, why would you? But here's the thing. We shouldn't all have to run to the army to get away from all the attachments. We should just be able to run to Jesus, and that be enough. And so I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through. But I want you to think about that statement. And I want you to think about the fact that joy comes through perseverance in Jesus Christ, not out of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, today we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. This is just tremendous. This early church, the examples of these men that just kind of went. God, we're thankful that we can look at them, that we can see that it's possible. And not only is it possible, but it brings great joy. When the message of Jesus Christ is on our lips, it brings great joy. We thank you for the many things that we could stand here today and be thankful for. God, we even thank you that the Mitchells are sitting back there, and God, that their strength to be able to walk in a sanctuary today. And so, God, we love you, we trust you, and help us to have you on our lips this week so that we can experience joy. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a great idea. You know what it is? If you haven't been to Sunday school in a while, it's pouring outside. Today's the day. Hey, come on downstairs, right? Avoid the rain. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon.
really do.
Test, test. All right.
Is Jeff, is Greg here for lights in this service or no? Okay, great.
Would Lily still be seen right there in the shot? Okay, then that's gonna work better, I think. Okay. Okay, we will get started in about 2 minutes if we can make sure we're set and ready for sound checks. Could you unmute the keyboard for me, please? Thank you so much. Test. Okay. Come on. There it is. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna mess you up, Jeff and Chris. Are you up there, Chris? What? Sorry. Oh, let me get my ear in. Just a second. I don't hear you. Okay. Really quickly, I know this messes things up, but I don't want to mess your mics up. So, and this goes for everybody that needs to hear vocalist in your ears. Continue to put the person that's normally on that mic, even though we're not in that order. So Lily is on one, even though she's on this end. I'm on two, Ashley's on three, and Josh is on four. Is that easier for you, though, since our mics are for our voice usually? Huh? Okay, so Josh is on four, but he needs to be in this position due to the click, so that's why. And you'll stand more like right by that black instead of out so that we can all four fit. She's on one. Yep. Okay, okay. Okay, just a reminder that we go straight out of Battle Belongs into Fight My Battles, and that's when it switches. Do you need me? What? Greg, hurry up and get moving. Your class is waiting. I'm just kidding. That might have been him. So. Okay, so make sure we're going straight into Fight My Battles, and that's when Ashley takes lead there. Lily's leading Resurrecting, and then back to me for Hallelujah here below. Okay. Let's make sure we have acoustic. Go ahead and play. Acoustic. I hear him in my ear. You good? Okay. Let's, keys, you were already playing somewhere, yeah? Yep. Okay, bass, we know you're in from earlier. Larry, are you good? Okay, Larry's in, and Garrett, you're good? Is your mic hot? Is your mic good?
Check.
Oh, he's going to sing to us. Oh, there's nothing? Oh, violin. Mike, are we good? Is it not pulling through? Oh, it is? You're good? Okay. All right, great. Perfect. Okay, all right, let's go ahead and start. Just by looking at us right here, aesthetically, is there somewhere that we need to move? Any back row, front row? Okay.
I should probably move.
Yeah. Tabor, could you move about an inch, please? Okay. All right, let's go ahead and start with Battle Belongs. Remember, the intro is repeating.
Check.
Oh, and you're on, which pack do we put you on? Three?
Three, yeah.
I will try to move this, and if it doesn't work, we can have Jeff. So, okay, you're on mic four. So you want to pull this down.
Check, 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 check. I can't hear myself at all.
Okay, can you go to the in ears for four?
Check.
I'm sorry, three, three. And what? He is.
Mic four.
Mic four, but he's pack three. Pack three, we've got to send back. Oh.
Check. Check mic four in pack three. Check, 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 check.
Is it not coming up?
Check. No.
It's moving check. On the app.
Check, 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 check. I got nothing. Which is not that big of a deal.
I see you
check,
moving them.
Check, check, check.
Can you hear me?
Check. I can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear me out there, which is not a great thing, but.
Okay.
Check. Check.
So you're
check.
In. Oh, see, your whole pack needs to probably pull up and then. Oops.
Check, check.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Check, check, check.
Are theirs flip-flop now,
check.
Too? Is that the problem? Did it just get really loud in your ear?
Yeah, and I
have check, check, check.
I think they're all flipped.
Check, 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 check.
Does that
change? Yep, that's me.
So you need to adjust.
Check.
Oh, my word. Okay, you need to adjust. Even though you're wearing four, you're three in the app. I'm one in the app, even though I'm wearing
check.
Two. So I will change all the stickers. I don't know how they got
check.
Swapped.
Check. So I need me loud.
Yeah, check. Let's not change it now, but let's do it after service. In here, you're three, even though your pack says four. Yes.
Check. Yeah, I can hear me now.
Okay. All right. Battle belongs. Let's go ahead and get started.
Check.
Yeah, let's not make a shift before service so we don't miss any or lose anything. And then we'll adjust the packs. I can just change the stickers. It'll be fine. So. Okay. Josh is four.
Yes, turn that off.
4, 2, 3, 1. All right, Josh, you ready?
Yeah.
That's been the problem. Yeah. No wonder you got more loud in here.
Belongs to you.